This is an interview with Eddie Oxendine on February 21st, 1985, at his home in Georgetown, Florida. I'm Marianne McDonald.
My grandfather, he was raised on the river. They fished all their life.
Was it your grandfather who was born in North Carolina or your great-grandfather?
My great-grandfather was born in North Carolina.
And then he was the one who came down here?
Right.
Okay. I was so surprised, like I told you, to hear that name, Oxendine. I was like, wow, that's a North Carolina name. There can't be more than one group of Oxendines. So your dad then, of course, was born down here.
Right.
Yeah.
He was born in Georgetown.
Right. Well, how did your dad learn to fish?
Well, from his dad.
And how about you?
From my dad.
Yeah. And your kids?
From my dad.
Right. That's great. What kind of fishing was your dad doing mostly? Was it catlining or?
Catlining.
Did he do traps too?
He did traps.
Some. Did he use a haul seine ever?
No, he never used a haul seine, but he worked on the same boat.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
Whose was it, do you know?
It was Junior Parker back then when it was seine in Lake George, taking out all the gars and stuff like that. It was catching, it was turning loose to the bass and the brim. They was keeping the catfish and the garfish and the stink shad. And the scavenger was keeping it, but the rest of it was, you know, throwing it back.
And that was probably in the 40s?
That was back in the 40s.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Dave Sheffield, you do know him, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said he used to work on the same boat like that, and that when he was working on them, people would sing to each other to help pull up, because it was real hard work.
Right.
Do you remember your dad telling you about singing on the same boat? Or
no, he never did tell me about it.
Yeah, I really wanted to see if I could find someone who could sing some of those songs, but Dave Sheffield couldn't remember any.
Right.
Or any he wanted to sing to me.
Right, that's probably the problem.
Probably part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was pretty interesting. I'd like to have heard some of them. Did your dad use hoop nets too, or?
No, he never used hoop nets. He always used just regular traps and trot lines and stuff.
Do you know why he didn't use hoop nets? Or?
Well, back then when he was fishing, they had no such thing called a hoop net.
Really?
No, they didn't.
When did they come onto the river?
The hoop nets come in around about maybe, as I can remember, about maybe 12, 13 years ago. Hoop nets come out.
Wow.
Because it wasn't allowed to fish hoop nets in Lake George.
Oh, it was illegal.
It was illegal, right. And you couldn't fish no more in the river. And then they opened the lake up for hoop nets in the upper river, and then that's when the fish went to boom.
Oh.
Because the hoop net catches everything. It catches anything that goes in it.
So you think the hoop net is what's causing trouble with the fish, or?
Well, not really. The hoop nets don't cause any trouble with the fish. It's the way they spray the hyacinths. They spray the hyacinths. Years ago, they didn't spray the hyacinths. You can go out and catch all the fish you want to catch. With that chemicals get put in the water, all that stuff goes to the bottom. It's polluting the water.
Yeah.
And your fish don't have anything to feed off. They feed off the bugs, off the hyacinths. So what they got to eat?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I've heard that from several people.
And they open these in upper river. They open that up. And years ago, they didn't have it open up. And we had all the fish. Man, they can go out and make a living.
Oh, so you weren't allowed to fish way up by Jacksonville?
Oh, yeah, you can fish up by Jacksonville.
Oh.
But the only thing, they open up a river.
It up used by to be, where?
That's where that place?
Like Astor down in there?
Yep, right on Astor there. They call it up a river.
Oh, they do, okay.
Because they had it dammed off years ago. Then they opened it up.
Mm-hmm.
And let all that salt water in here.
Oh, so that changed it?
It changed. Mm-hmm. Changed the fishing.
Yeah. I'm surprised. But, well, what year did you first start fishing on the river? How old were you?
Oh, shoot. I was on the river when I was 7, 8 years old. Huge, yeah.
Well, you're probably about my age, aren't you? I'm 29.
No, I'm older than you is.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I'm 33.
33. Oh, so you're Squeaky Mullis's age.
Right.
Okay. Because he's about 33. Well, you're not too much older than me. So you were fishing You were going out with your dad in the 50s then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What kind of stuff would you help him with when you were first learning? Do you remember when you were little?
Yeah, write cat lines and bait them and get shrimp, grass shrimp and stuff like that.
So you'd go out and how would you get the shrimp? With a...
with a net.
You like get a little boat dip net or...
Yeah, you get a boat with a net and wait and get them.
Well, that must have been kind of fun when you were
little.
Yeah,
it worked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How old were you when you put out your first trot line?
I was about 13.
Oh, wow. What kind of boat did you use?
I had an old wooden boat. Just a regular wooden boat. My dad, he had a wooden boat. I was using it.
Did you have a motor on that boat in the beginning when you were...
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Even mm-hmm. when you were like 13?
Right.
Now, would you use a jump box? Or did you start out with a jump box for setting those lines?
Right, start with a jump box. On the hooks of the box.
Yeah.
And then they come out with this 500 rack deal, you know, stack racks.
Yeah. And were you cleaning the fish before you sold them then?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Some people, don't they have... take the fish into St. John's
house
down there and have other people clean them?
Right.
Now that's, you wouldn't make as much at all, would you?
No.
You'd have other people clean them.
No, wouldn't.
Yeah. Did your dad clean his own fish?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess he taught you how to, he's responsible for the speed, huh?
He's responsible for the speed. Yeah, when I started first skinning fish, I was skinning on a box. I wasn't hard enough to reach the hook, so a guy built me a box.
Oh, wow.
So I could reach the hook, thought it from there.
Wow. Have you ever worked at catfish skinner? Like in a fish house? Or?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But so instead of just doing it for yourself, you were doing it for...
for other people, too.
Wow. Was that in Willacka and at St. John's?
Well, all around.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that pretty good money if you're fast?
Well, it's average out the same thing if you're on a job somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
It's average about the same, but you just got to stay there. You got to stay in one place all day on your feet.
That sounds hard.
Yeah, it ain't no easy job, you know, but put meat on the table.
Sure. Were you doing that when you were like a teenager or?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every day I come in from school, that was my job.
Wow. That sounds like hard work.
It was hard work, but it was honest, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
It was honest work.
When is the, is that year round that you'd be skinning catfish if you wanted to do that?
Well,
because right now they're not biting too good, are
no.
they?
No. The fish, if I just like to, you know, the fish is not like it used to be. You know, years ago you go out and get boatloads of fish, boatloads of fish. Now you go out and catch a boatload of fish, you got to have a boatload of bait.
Yeah.
And the bait is so high and you can't make no money at it.
Now, when you first started fishing, just doing cat lining, what kind of bait would you use? Shrimp?
Shrimp, grass shrimp, nourish worms. We used to dig our own worms.
Oh, yeah?
Right.
And that's cheap. Didn't cost you anything but time.
Time.
Right. When did soybean bait become real popular?
Soybean come be real popular back when the hook net started, back mm-hmm. When they started bait with hook net. But they've been using soybean for a long time because they've mm-hmm. been growing soybean fields for a long time.
Right.
And we started using it down here. And flake, and then they come up with flake. It didn't work just as good as soybean.
Right. So, but of course you couldn't use soybean on a hook.
No,
no.
That'd
just be for the trap and
for the hook nets.
The hook nets, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they use cut bait, herring.
Mm-hmm.
You could use herring for it. Years ago, you used to use gillet shads. Take them and burn them on one side.
Huh.
On a piece of tin, and they'd do just as good as a cut bait. What they call a herring, they'd do just as good as a herring.
Wow. What's the funniest thing you've ever used for bait? I've heard some stories about people using...
I use watermelons.
That's really funny.
Oxygen soap.
Soap. Now, that's the one I just can't imagine. Catfish going after soap.
Aluminum foil. And use the empty hook and just spray silver paint on it.
Silver paint. Somebody told me that she used bubble gum once and that worked real good.
Cheese.
Cheese, huh? Wow.
Beef heart, buzzards.
Buzzards?
Yeah. Yeah, any kind of red meat, beef heart.
They'll go for it, huh?
Yeah, beef heart and stuff like that. Sure.
Wow. What's your favorite bait, though?
My favorite bait
for
is
a cat line.
Grass shrimp.
It's just what Dave Sheffield said. Mm-hmm. Now, he really has a reputation for being some kind of cat liner.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty modest, but everybody else tells stories on him.
Right.
Somebody told me a story, said everybody was asking how the catfish were biting, and somebody said, well, Dave Sheffield's doing real good. He's doing real good with the catfish. And they said, no, I'm asking how they're biting. I'm not asking how Dave Sheffield's doing.
Right. How they're biting. Yeah. You got certain spots you catch them, certain spots you don't, you know?
Yeah. Well, what do you think is the most, some of the most important qualities to have if you were going to be a good fisherman or a good cat liner, say, like Dave, what makes Dave Sheffield such a good cat liner, so successful?
Well, maybe he sticks with it, you know? Maybe he just, you know, it's a hobby, you know? That's something he want to do. He's free. You have no boss over you right there. You got...
Mm-hmm.
You can holler and hoop and do whatever you want to do, you know?
Sing songs.
Right. You can sing songs out there. Nobody to bother with you, you know?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful job. I mean that makes a day go by faster, you know?
The right equipment. Faster than skinning catfish inside a place, probably.
Well, yes. I mean,
yeah.
Either way you look at it.
Yeah.
Making a living.
Really? When you go to set a trot line or cat line, do you set yours going across the river or going with the flow of the river?
Well, it depends on where I'm going. If the water's too rough up on the east shore,
mm-hmm.
I'll go behind the island so it wouldn't put out. It don't make no difference what way I run it, you know. If I'm grass fishing, I fish right up against the bank.
Uh-huh.
And I run, if it's too rough in the lake where I can't get up on the lake, I just go to behind an island where it's real calm and put out back there.
Mm-hmm. When, of all the different methods that you use cat line, fish trap, hoop net.
Right.
What are the differences between them and which do you like best?
Well, I like hoop nets. Hoop nets is good. I mean, and I like cat line because cat line I can go out at night and feel good. Moonlight night and go out there and bait up and, you know, it's a lot. Hoop nets you run them at daytime and cat line you bat at night, you hear the birds sing and the coons and the possum and gators floating.
And no sports fishermen out there, yeah. Either, right?
Well, they got no sport fishermen, don't be out there, commercial fishermen. You got buddies, bees out there, you know. And
that sounds nice.
It's wonderful.
What are the advantages to a hoop net? Do you catch a smaller fish with a hoop net?
No, a hook net catch more. If you got the fish there, you got them baited there, they're going to, you know, you catch a lot of,
mm-hmm.
you catch a lot of fish in one hook net.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a cat line wouldn't catch it and a trap wouldn't catch it.
Huh. Now, if you were bringing in a cat line and you had 500 hooks on it, would a good haul be if half those hooks were full?
No. Maybe every other hook. A 500 hook line, you figure you get about 40 pounds of cats off it.
Really?
Because these guys now, they're fishing 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 and 6,000 hooks to catch 4 or 5 baskets of cats. And that's a lot of hooks.
A lot of hooks.
You better believe it. Some of them fishing 10,000.
That's a lot.
But they're fishing empty hooks. You don't have to bait them. Just put them out there and what they call, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're using several hooks, you know. Don't bait them or anything.
Right. Huh. Which of all those, of the hoop net and the fish trap and the cat line, which is the most work?
Cat line.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
A lot of work in it.
A lot of work, but it takes, you don't have as much money invested in the equipment though, right?
No, you don't have much money invested in the cat line as you do in the hoop nets.
Yeah, because the hoop nets are really expensive.
Really expensive.
Yeah. Hmm. And then the fish traps, they're not as expensive. Are they?
Well, they're pretty expensive. Right. They're pretty expensive.
But you don't make them yourself, do you?
No.
Yeah. How much would it cost to go out and buy one?
To go buy a fish trap right now? It costs about $13, $14, maybe $15.
That seems like a lot of money.
You better believe it is.
Did your dad make his equipment?
Yeah, some of his stuff he made it into. He was using galvanized wire.
Mm-hmm.
It bothered his hands a lot. He used to make his own crab pots on fish trap. And then he had a guy that makes them.
Who would make them?
Who was the guy with his name? Hilton Hall and we like him.
Yeah. Wow. I've been trying to find somebody who's making crab traps or fish traps now so I could watch them and take pictures of them making them, but nobody's working on any now. They're going to start making crab traps in a little bit, but nobody's really starting yet. But, let me see. You ever caught an alligator in your hoop nets?
No.
Little ones? No?
No. I haven't caught them on my cat line. They take my cat line over the devil.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, they swim out there so bad they take a whole cat line and just take it with them.
That's terrible. Do you think that makes a difference how the fish bite depending on the phases of the moon?
Yes, it does.
Does it really?
Everything feeds on the moon.
So when the moon's...
When the moon is 3/4 full?
Uh-huh.
Everything is feeding.
So you really try to like do a lot of extra fishing then, or?
Well, no, you don't do any extra fishing. You just catch more fish on that certain moon. Then when the moon get full, the fish quit biting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How about when the moon is getting smaller, when it's waning? Do the fish bite less then?
Maybe bite less.
Hmm.
About less. Because my daddy, he always told me when the owls start hooping, start to put the cat lines out. It's feed time. Right.
You mean every evening when they start?
Yeah, when the owls start hooping, he says feed time then. Catfish starting to feed, so we start putting the lines out.
Wow. So would he go do that almost every night? Go out at night like that and put out the cat line?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he'd be home during the day?
Well, he'd be home during the day, and we'd be working on lines and stuff like that, and rigging up more lines. And
thing about fishing, it seems like it's just a 24-hour-a-day job.
It's 24 hours.
Just always working on it.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Dave Sheffield if he could kind of describe an average day when he was doing a lot of fishing in the 50s and the 60s. He's kind of semi-retired now, but he said he'd go out every night.
Every night.
And cat line, and then spend... In the morning, you have to clean his fish and then go get bait and then try to get a little bit of sleep before he had to go out again.
Mm-hmm. Right. My dad did the same thing. He fished night and day.
Really?
Right.
Was your dad and Dave Sheffield, were they friends?
Yeah, he knew Mr. Dave Sheffield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if they sort of hung out together or anything.
I don't know if they ever hung out together.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of these guys around here, they fish with my dad, and he fished with a lot of them around here.
Yeah. What was your dad's name?
Eddie Oxenine.
Same as yours?
Right. I'm Junior.
Oh, you're Junior. Okay.
Right.
Wow. What's the biggest catfish you've ever caught?
About 35, 40 pounds.
Oh, man. On a cat line?
Cat line. Mm-hmm.
Did it tear the line up?
No, it didn't tear the line up. What we carry is a net. When you get those big cats like that, just take a net, scoop him up, and get him like that.
Must have been really big.
Yep. My dad had caught him high as 50, almost 50 pounds.
Really?
Shoot, catfish bigger than I was when I was a boy.
Yeah, I bet. That must be something to try to skin.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was a job. But it come off like any other cat.
Is there a difference nowadays between what the restaurants and the fish houses want to buy?
Right.
Is the difference?
They want all small white cats. No large cats. No reds.
No reds.
Right.
What are the, maybe you can tell me like the different varieties of catfish. I know there's reds. Now, what are they like?
He's a red speckled cat.
Mm-hmm.
That's called a grass cat.
A grass cat?
Yeah, red
Why
cat.
Why do you call them grass cats?
They mostly spawn in the grass. And,
uh-huh.
And your white cats, they spawn in the grass too. Mm-hmm. You go lay the eggs. I have one out there caught them by hand. Certain time of year when the red cat's on bed, I could wade the water and reach down and grab it with my hand.
Wow.
And catch him right off his bed.
Wow.
When the water's down low, you could see him, you know?
Yeah. Well, are the red cats good eating?
Yeah, they're good eating. I don't see no difference in them. I think it's about as good as a white cat. And there's he's just as good as a white cat.
Mm-hmm.
A red cat is as good as a white cat.
Is a white cat a channel cat?
Well, you got two varieties of cats. You got a bullhead.
Uh-huh.
And you got a And you got a, what do you call it? A channel cat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a white cat.
Now, what does a bullhead look like?
A bullhead, he's a white cat, but his head is wider. And a channel cat got the king head.
Which is narrower?
Narrow, right.
Uh-huh. And how big, the big catfish that you sometimes catch, what kind are they? Are they red cats?
Well, they're white cats.
Uh-huh.
They're what you call a channel cat.
So they're the kind that get real big sometimes.
Yeah, get real, real big.
Wow. Well, how about a cordwood? What's that?
That's what they call a channel cat.
Okay, so that's just all different names for the same kind of
fish. Right, right, right.
What other kind of names are there?
You got your butter cat.
Butter cat? I haven't heard that one yet. What's that?
That's a butter cat. He's the one got the yellow belly.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you haven't?
Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm. You catch them mostly in small lakes and little ponds and stuff, butter cats, but you can catch them out in Lake George.
You can?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about some more kinds? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some that I've heard.
You got the butter cat, white cat, channel cat. And what they call a blue cat is a channel cat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about it down here.
Really?
And they got what they call a stone. What, a stone catfish?
What's that?
A rock catfish, you call it.
Oh, you find those around here?
Mm-hmm.
And what makes them different? How do you?
He almost reminds you of a butter cat, but he's a different color. He's softer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a different color from any other kind of catfish.
Really? Mm-hmm. What color is he?
He's sort of yellowish, sparkly yellow. And his meat is real firm.
Huh. So he's probably good eating then?
Oh, yeah, he's good eating. Oh, yeah.
Do you think there's a big difference between the catfish eating wise, between the varieties?
No, not to me. It's not. I prefer a red cat if I had a choice on it, you know. But you know, when you go to a restaurant, people want the little fangling catfish, something about, you know, lay you eight on, ain't big enough to eat. We can eat bones and all.
Wow.
They don't want the meat. They want the bones.
Now, the restaurants now, or the fish houses now, don't they pay more for the fingerling?
Right.
Okay. Now, when you go out and get your lines or your hoop nets and come back, do you have to sort your fish?
You have to grade them.
Grade them.
Right.
Okay. How much will you be getting for, like, the fingerlings?
Fingerling catfish, I think they give $1 a pound.
Okay. How about for the reds?
For the reds, you get 40 cents.
Big difference.
Big difference, ain't it?
Yeah. How about for
the large whites? They give her, 55.
Hmm. That's not too good.
No, it ain't good.
Do you remember how much you were getting when you were little?
Well, when we was real small, we was getting about 40 cents for the small, about 25 cents for the red. And that was big money back then.
I bet it was.
I believe it. That was big bucks, and man made a living too.
Really?
You better believe you did.
Well, how many years has it been since fishing was really good around here, since you were really making money at it?
Fishing ain't been good in about 10 years.
That's a long time.
You better believe it. Well, they caught a few fish a couple of years ago. Some guys were fishing, because I wasn't fishing. I worked for Branniker for about 12 years.
What's Branniker?
Whispering Pines, land development.
What were you doing, construction or?
I was running heavy equipment.
Oh, man. That sounds hard.
Well, it was all right, you know.
Yeah.
And they was catching a few cats, but since the older heads died off and...
Since the what's died off?
The older head. The old fishermen, commercial fishermen. Since they're dying off like flies, and it hasn't been no good fishing since. It's not been no good fishing since.
Hmm.
They started spreading the hyacinths and... Back then, they didn't spray the hyacinths. Once they started putting that chemicals in the water, it just killed the fish.
Yeah, what do you think about... I think there's a lot of other kinds of pollution in the river, like sewage and all. Is it different from when you were growing up?
No, I don't think it's too much of the sewage. I think it's got a lot to do with it, too, but you... Like I say, the hyacinths is the main part of the thing.
Yeah.
You can go out and pick up hyacinths. You can shake off... almost a half a tub of, you know, a can of bugs off them, and the fish feeds on them. You can go out there, you can look across there, and it's cracking everywhere. You can go out there, you don't see nothing. You might see a mullet jump.
Because now, when you were little, were there hyacinths like all over the river?
You had to almost wait. You almost had to push for a mile to get out of the hyacinths. But it was fish.
Did it make it hard to get around in your boats, though?
Right, it did.
But still, there were a lot of fish.
It was a lot of fish.
Now, that's what Dave Sheffield says, too. That he can remember seeing the... down by the Palatka Bridge.
Just solid full. And you take your bass fishers, they didn't like that because they want to get them bass boats in there and get out there and catch the bass, speed up and down the river. Now they got all the room they want now.
Right, they do.
They don't run
Are they catching bass though?
I don't know if they're catching bass or not. They're catching a few. I imagine they're catching a few. But years ago, it went for a man to go out and catch them a bunch of bass. They take $10,000 to go catch a fish now, a bass. Them fancy boats they run up and down the river.
Man. There are some fancy boats over there.
Yeah, you better believe it.
Must be $14,000-$15,000.
You better believe it.
God.
Back then, when my dad was running a little boat, he was running a little 5-horse. All we needed.
5 horsepower.
A 5-horsepower popped up down the river. Didn't get there fast, but we got there.
Right. Well, what are you running now? What kind of fishing are you doing now? Do you have cat lines out?
I got about a couple of hundred hooks out there, you know, I just mess around with to pick up some, you know.
Do you go out every day? Check them?
No, about once a week or something like that.
Is it okay if the fish are, like, if you went out on Monday and the fish have been hanging on the hook since the Monday before, is that okay for them?
Oh, yeah, sure.
They can just live?
Oh, yeah, they can live.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have fish traps out now, too?
No, I don't have any fish traps out right now.
Just cat lines?
I just got a few cat lines out.
How about eel pots?
I got about maybe 35, 40 eel pots out.
Wow. Maybe. Do you do those once a week?
I do them about every Sunday.
How much are eel bringing?
A dollar a pound right now.
Now, about 10 years ago, there was a real boom with eel, wasn't there?
Oh, man, you can go out there and... catch all the eels you want, but now you can't hardly find an eel.
You can't.
No.
What do you use for eel bait?
Horseshoe crabs.
Where do you get those?
Titusville, out of salt water.
Why do the eels like those so much? How are you?
Hi.
They get the eggs out of them.
So that's what draws them into the trap. Wow. How are you doing? Did you have a good day at school?
Yes, ma'am.
What'd you learn?
About math and all that.
Great.
Get that x-ray.
Well, let me think. Do you like eel fishing as much as you like cat fishing?
I like to do it all, really.
Yeah?
If you make a living at it.
Will you crab this summer?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to try to.
Yeah. What kind of price do you get for crabs?
20 cents a pound.
Oh, man, that's not much. Doesn't seem.
By the time you buy your bait, your bait costs you 5 cents a pound.
That's a lot.
A 6 gallon of gas costs you almost $8 and a quarter oil.
Wow.
You got to catch 100 pound of crab, what you made.
Yeah, right. How many traps do you run?
I got about 65.
How long will it take you to check all those traps when you have them out in the river?
I can run about maybe an hour.
That seems fast. What's an average haul when they're running good from the amount of traps you have?
We can get about 200 pounds a run.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it seems like a lot.
Yeah. Do the commercial fishermen, you were saying, sports fishermen rather, do they sometimes draw up your crab pots?
Oh, yeah, they take the crabs out of them. We had trouble last year, they were stealing crabs. They were going out at night stealing them.
That's terrible.
You go the next morning, you don't have no crabs.
And you could tell that someone had been in them?
Oh, yeah.
Do people see it sometimes? Like if you're out there, do you see somebody?
Oh, yeah. We had the game warden, Bob Lee. We had him out there watching the crab pots. He had to get them watch them at night. They was running them at night with headlights, running everybody's traps.
That's terrible. Yeah. I'd be scared of getting shot.
Yeah. I would probably need to kill them a couple more out there.
Yeah, see, go ahead.
That'll stop some of them.
Yeah, it seems to me that there is a lot of, you know, conflict between the commercial fishermen and the sports fishermen.
Well, the sports fishermen ain't that bad. I mean, not to me. It just probably some of the guys just got a boat and they got a market for crabs. They go out and steal them. Mm. Same about your trot lines. They go out and steal your trot lines. They run your trot lines before you get to them. They run you if they want to go out and make a dollar. Just go out and they know where you're fishing at, and they go out and just run them.
So does that happen a lot?
Oh, sure.
Huh? That's awful. Have you ever caught anybody messing with your stuff?
I caught one man one time.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. What happened?
I just told him, I said, what you doing? He said, well, I was just sitting here fishing. Just pull your trap up. I told him, I don't think that's right for you to pull my trap up. Yeah. He shot a guy and he sent him to prison about it, too. But I was wrong because the guy was stealing his crabs. He didn't shoot to kill him.
Did he kill him?
No, I don't think he killed him. I think he hit the motor, went through the engine or something like that.
Wow.
That happened years ago. That sort of slowed the thieves down a little bit, but started back up again. He went right back to crabbing too. He said if he do it again, he's going to do it again. Mm. Maybe.
Man, that's terrible.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to make a living at it.
Yeah, especially. Well, you were probably, I'm thinking you were probably too young to have ever done any monkey fishing. Woo, look at you. You're going to lose your teeth doing that.
Too young to do any monkey fishing.
Yeah, did you do some monkey fishing?
Well, sure.
Oh, yeah, so you weren't too young.
No. Monkey fishing, it don't hurt your fish or nothing. It just brings catfish.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody I've ever talked to has done it, has done some monkey fishing.
All right. Got to take a chance in life somehow to make a living.
Did you ever have any close calls, almost getting caught when you were doing monkey fishing?
Oh, sure.
Yeah? What happened?
We just had to run from them, you know?
Was that in that little Myron War boat you had?
No, uh-uh, not in that one.
No?
I ain't never had no trouble. I ain't never did it in that one. I quit it.
Uh-huh.
My wife don't really go out there doing no monkey fishing.
No, I don't blame her.
Costs too much money.
Yeah.
You got to get a game warden something to do, get him a job to do, mm-hmm. Try to catch you, you know.
Really, I heard a few stories about.
Yeah, Mr. Bob Lee, he slowed that down.
Yeah. But I guess before he came around, like in the early, in the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
It was just everybody doing it.
Yeah, we had good times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and my dad used to go out there and do it.
Yeah? Catch a lot of fish?
Yeah. Hit them right, you get a lot of them. You work at it like anything else.
But it's not like other kinds of fish. It's not that much work.
It's not that much work, no.
Yeah. Just go out and do it at night?
In daytime, too.
Really? Yeah. Those must have been wild days when all that was going on.
Them was the good days.
Really?
Them was the good days.
Sounds pretty wild, though.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yep, those were good days.
Would you just take those fish and sell them right at the fish house, just like any other?
Well, sure.
There was no way to tell that they'd been monkey fished instead of.
No, it don't. It just all they do is just dunce them and knock them out.
And then they come on up to the top.
They just come to the top. They run from you. You got to try to catch them.
Now, how exactly do you do it? Do you get a? I mean, I know it's electricity, but how do you do it?
Well, you just take a wire and put it to the front of the boat and wire to the back of the boat, you turn it on and let it go.
Really? You know, they do that up on the Tennessee River.
Right.
And they up there, they use those crank telephones, and they call it telephone and fish.
Right.
I'm going to go out tonight and telephone some fish.
Right. You're right.
Boy, they used to do that a lot up there. I guess they still do it some, right. But like down here, it's gotten, you know, the game wardens have
really got hot on it. Right. Yeah.
When did that really stop? Pretty much.
Oh, it's been stopped now for about 3 or 4 years since Bob Lee started.
He's a tough warden?
Yes, he's bad.
He is? He's bad? Mm-hmm. Is he a nice guy, though?
Yeah, he's real nice. Real nice guy. I mean, he only doing his job, you know?
Yeah, right.
Can't knock a man from doing his job.
Sure. How about some of the other wardens? Are they nice?
Oh, they're real nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before Bob Lee came, did the wardens just ignore it?
Or no, they did the job.
Just not as good?
Yeah, they're not as good.
Yeah. I think Ms. Parker down in Georgetown, Parker's
right.
Fish
House, mm-hmm.
was telling me that what really stopped it was they started levying a lot of fines.
Right.
Like beforehand, they just sort of said, you're giving you a ticket or something
right,
for
right.
$10. And then they started to really
put it up there.
Yeah, hundreds right. of dollars. And then it became
big.
Yeah, a problem, and so nobody did it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I never see anything wrong with it. It wouldn't hurt nothing, you know.
Well, that's what some folks say, but then somebody else was saying that it interfered with the catfish spawning, that the ones that had been stunned wouldn't spawn after that. So that was why it was real bad. No, you don't think so?
No.
Nothing wrong with it?
No.
They didn't do it?
No.
Hold on a minute, let me take it back.
Well, that's fancy.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let me see. I think that almost answers all my questions, believe it or not. I was going to go out in the backyard. You know, last time I took just a couple pictures, but I didn't take any color pictures mm-hmm. of your traps.
Right.
Maybe a couple of your dogs and one of you in your boat.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't forget.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me if I'd take a picture. I told him I would. I'll try to do that today. Mm. How would that be? Okay, great.
I like being a commercial fisherman like my dad.
Oh, yeah? How old are you?
8.
And when's your birthday?
September 21st.
What year were you born? You know that?
No, ma'am.
Well, if you're 8 now, and it's 1985... What year would that make it? What's 85 minus 8? You say whatever you want.
Here go my uncle, and I like to let you speak to him.
Oh, yeah? Oh, well, hello there, little uncle. Yeah, is it on?
It is on, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice.